You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at jwright929 ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial and you want to stream, you can do so, not only on the Odyssey app, which is free to download, free to listen. You can even listen on demand with Rewind. You can now listen on the TuneIn Radio app, as well as the iHeartRadio app, or just basically wherever you want to listen online. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. How's it going?
It's going well. Do we have any Cerrito Entertainment options tonight?
Yes, you do. Of course, come on down to South Haven, play some general knowledge trivia with yours truly tonight. Getting started around 7 o'clock at Dan McGinnis in South Haven.
Dan McGinnis in South Haven. Good. Go see George if you are so inclined. My company, as he is each and every Thursday on the program, writes about college football, college basketball for CBS Sports. You can follow him on the Everything app. At David W. Cobb. Cobb, good day, sir.
Hey, good day, Jeffrey, man. It's great to be with you guys today. I hope you're having as good of a Thursday as I am.
You know, listen, we've got an unreal part of the calendar. Like, yes, our college football Saturday is probably not as good as last week's was, but at least we don't have to root for Team USA in the Ryder Cup anymore.
Oh, my gosh. We haven't even had a chance to debrief on that, really, and that's okay because it was a train wreck. So in its place, we have playoff baseball, and, I mean, a Yankees-Red Sox elimination game tonight, I mean, that's as good as the game of baseball can get. So sign me up for that.
I'm trusting my buddy Chase Parham on this one because I was doing his podcast this morning. I believe this is the first do-or-die – well – the Yankees and Red Sox played a wild card game once upon a time when we had the one game wild card, but this is the last winner go home, like in a series, Yankees Red Sox game since the 04, the Dave Roberts comeback and what led to the Red Sox breaking of the curse.
Yeah, that's like a formative series in my baseball life. I mean, that was when playoff baseball was appointment viewing on Fox. And you know what's interesting, as a media nerd, you'll appreciate the fact that we have playoff baseball on ABC still feels weird to me.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because we have the TV in the studio that you know, basically I'm always watching. We've run into this issue where we can't turn it on or off, so it's just on all the time. And, you know, like one of the great feelings during NCAA tournament time is you realize, like, you left the TV on and you just stumble upon watching Charmed because everything's been on a Turner station. Today, when I walked in, it was just Good Morning America. And then, like, Jeff didn't know how to turn it off, and so Jeff is doing a sports show today, and behind him was Kelly and whatever. What's Kelly Ripa's husband's name? Mark? Kelly and Mark, whatever. The artist formerly known as Regis and Kathy Lee, and then Regis and Kelly, the Kelly Ripa show.
Is Michael Strahan still on there?
No, he's on. Is he on Good Morning America? I think he's on GMA. I think he moved to GMA.
I thought that, isn't that the one on ABC?
He is on Good Morning America, but then Kelly Ripa's show is syndicated. For us, it's syndicated on ABC 24, but it's afterwards. Good Morning America ends.
Okay, Jeffrey, I'm a little out of the loop on daytime network television.
Well, that's the thing, though. In Glasgow, I don't know. You may not have Mark and Kelly, or Kelly and Mark, excuse me, Kelly, sorry, Kelly and Mark on your ABC affiliate. It could, because it's syndicated, so they sell it to other affiliates.
Yeah, I've been learning all about that amidst this Jimmy Kimmel drama. The crazy thing about small town,
I swear
America,
to God, if we were going to lose college football in that political battle, I was going to just throw something.
What was this whole thing yesterday about, like, people treating the fact that, oh, wow, like the Air Force and Army and Navy teams, they're still going to play football amid the government shutdown. Like, when have the service academies ever stopped playing sports amid a government shutdown? Like, why is that news? Like, why would they? They're institutions of higher learning. Why would their football games be affected by the government shutdown?
Right. They're funded by the government, but they're not government institutions.
I just blew my mind that, like,
this is that thing where, like, this is where everyone is too online and trying to figure, like, everyone's brain is broken and trying to make everything into some type of political story.
Yeah, right. Like, okay, if for some reason Air Force and Navy weren't going to play, that would be a story. But, okay, it's business as usual in college football amid the government shutdown. That's not a story. Like, a government shutdown has never affected Army, Air Force, or Navy and their ability to play sports.
The last one was like 2018, but was it at the same time?
Yeah, I don't know. But needless to say, you brought this to my attention, and I'm very interested in it now. You got an Air Force Navy game on Saturday with a point total in the 50s.
And it's like, going up, so I'm waiting because everyone's looking at Air Force like Air Force can't stop anyone. Ladies and gentlemen, it's two service academies going at each other.
Absolutely.
We also got last week, we got the de facto service academy game when Navy played Rice. It was like 45. I just remember the entire fourth quarter. I was like, all right, that's good. I could flip that one off.
Yeah, and Navy gets a 14-point lead. They're literally going to take the air out of the football. They won't put it in the air. I mean, Blake Horvath attempts like 8 passes per game. So, no, I'm with you.
Yeah, so we're hashtag too blessed. In the Army-Navy game where the point total is now like always in the 30s, we've got one in the 50s. So I feel blessed, and I'm glad that there are a bunch of people on the over. All right, we'll set the tasting menu here for our weekend viewing here in just a little bit. Eric Hasstein's going to join us next. It was announced today. Eric still has a job. He will still be the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. 92.9 FM ESPN will still be the home of the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network here in Memphis. So shout out to that. Also, congrats to our boy Bennett Doyle. Bennett is now doing away game pre and post game because Gary Darby is now going to be the Ole Miss basketball radio announcer. David Kellum's going to actually give up a sport. He was, for a while, he was like one of the only radio network guys that did all three sports for a school. So stepping back from basketball, G Darb's going to take over. Super happy for Gary because he's an awesome, awesome dude. But that means so Jessica will do pre and post game for home games, and then Bennett and Roser are going to do pre and post for away games. I guess we have to say the Jason and John producers' chairs, the incubate of great pre and post game shows?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
So who's Jason and John's producer right now?
That'd be Brad. Brad is Brad next up.
Yeah. All right, Brad.
Brad does have
balls
a couple,
in your court.
Brad has a couple other gigs. So Eric's going to join us. We'll get into the list. I'm sure Cobb is as pumped as I am to read Ross Dellinger's latest story about perhaps the likely expansion of the NCAA tournament. Also, I saw a Baseball America top recruiting class list. I'm not going to spend, for the audience out there, don't worry, I'm not going to spend a lot of time breaking down these recruiting classes, but I thought the list was funny, and so I'll explain that as well. Jason Smith's going to join us basically right before game three for the Cubs. So his Cubbies are going to try to have the right to play the Dodgers. No, they would be the Brewers, right? Because Dodgers, it's Dodgers-Phillies, that's set. And so they'll have the right to play the Brewers. So we'll talk about that with Jason and more. Tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. All right, Cobb, I think we have to start with a game that I know that's on top of everyone's mind. Can you explain to me why Sam Houston State is a road favorite in a college football game against another FBS program?
Yeah, no, I really can't, because I've seen Sam Houston in person at Western Kentucky a few weeks ago, week zero. They're very, very bad. And I just, the only conclusion that I can draw is that this is David Cobb slander.
Yeah, no, it has to be. I mean, Phil Longo should never be a favorite.
No, and Sam Houston is, they're just so poor, so pathetic. And New Mexico State's recruiting coordinator, often mistaken for myself.
Yes.
I kid you not, Jeffrey, every single day I get a direct message on X from a high school prospect asking me to look at their huddle film and to let me know when New Mexico State's next recruiting camp is. Because this former Tennessee Titans and Minnesota Gophers running back named David Cobb is their recruiting coordinator. We're the same age. Obviously, we both work in the sports industry, but that's kind of where our similarities stop, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, so I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that you've never been mistaken for a D1 running back.
It's unbelievable, except for these high school
third
kids
down
on X,
back, like, maybe, but not a Big Ten running back.
Yeah, and I'm like, man, like, if you don't have the mental acuity to know the difference between a sports writer and an assistant coach, I don't know if your SAT score is going to be good enough to get you into New Mexico State. So that's the only thing I can come up with, is that New Mexico State just has a bunch of maybe less than intelligent people on their roster. I mean, I don't know. Maybe their admission standards are so low that Sam Houston's
well,
just going to...
They did have one of my all-time favorites. When Jans was still coaching there, remember that team? Did they go to the... They go to
Sweet
the Elite
16,
Eight or Sweet 16.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember if they went to the Elite Eight or Sweet 16. But if you got a look at them, you were like, what the heck? Like, they physically looked like an elite basketball team. Then you watch them play offense, and you're like, oh, okay, I get it. But I knew when one of my buddies that was in coaching sent me a note saying, New Mexico State has a guy on their roster that has 2 years that it's just parts unknown. Like, no one knows where he was. No one knows what he was doing. And so when I heard that, I immediately went and bet on him. I think they played, like, UConn round one and knocked them off. They played somebody like that.
They did.
Like,
they beat UConn in the first round,
yeah.
And then they lost to Arkansas in the second round. But that team was filled with guys who were either former Power Conference players or future Power Conference players. And that's the team that got Chris Jans that job at Mississippi State. Yeah.
Correct. And I do believe we might have later had an attempted murder charge. But again, that's the cost of doing business with some of those teams. Like,
hey, Las Cruces, man. Like, you know,
you gotta
roll with the punches out there.
Like, that was last chance you.
Yes.
So that just caught my eyes. So also today, so we have Guardians and Tigers going on right now, game three. At four o'clock we have Cubs and Padres, and then are we doing 7 o'clock for Yankees Red Sox?
Yeah, I believe that 7:08 is the official
first pitch
for Yankees Red Sox, man. That's gonna be so good. Now, granted, it's not exactly like a big name pitching matchup, but even
one guy's making his debut.
Like, it's Yankees Red Sox elimination game. That's really, really good.
It's the Red Sox guy, right? That's making his debut
early.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. He's pitched. He's pitched. He's making his play. Is it Schlittler? Somebody's literally making like a debut.
Well, Schlittler is pitching for New York. I don't know how much experience he has, but like I'm surprised that the over under on the run total in Red Sox Yankees is only 7.5, because you got a couple of relatively inexperienced arms, and it feels like a situation that would be ripe for an over.
I guess the only argument would be is do or die is like game 3, game 7 baseball the same as like game 7 basketball or like big time college football game where I feel like it always goes under.
That's probably a
fair comparison. Everybody's nervy and everybody's playing it extra safe.
Well, in this day and time, they're going to go to the bullpen at the first sign of trouble anyway. So it's not like they're going to leave some young pup out there into the sixth inning if he's getting shelled. You know, I mean, obviously, you're going to have a quick hook in this game. So, yeah. But, man, it's just like the Red. Think about this, man. The Red Sox traded Rafael Devers, and yet, you know, they're one win away from making the ALDS and having a pretty decent path to move forward in the playoffs. So
I know they got killed for that.
Oh, they did.
I think they just couldn't come out and say it, but they were like, he's a locker room cancer.
I mean, apparently, yeah, but like, I don't know that anybody thought they're going to get rid of their star third baseman and get better. I mean, how often do you see teams in any professional sport?
The Cowboys. The Cowboys, that defense has got better.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not ready to. I've seen enough Cowboys football over the years to know that there's still a, there's a slip coming here.
Okay, so it's funny you mentioned this because you and I were talking about this a little bit off the air. Maybe I need to clip what you just said and like put it on the wall, because I have talked myself into, and I know it's a little different because Dez was not the Grizzlies' best player, but Dez was a very, very good player for the Grizzlies. And I've talked myself into the trade's going to be okay, because I think KCP's struggles in Orlando were less about KCP and more about the fact that I don't trust the Magic with a lead ball handler. Like, and so I think you wind up getting bad shots. I think with Ja Morant, you're going to wind up getting good shots. And even when Ja's not healthy, I think Ty Jerome is a very, very capable backup point guard, and like, I just think he's going to be set up to have success, and he's longer defensively.
That's a good take. I applaud your ability to get our conversation on Rafael Devers into your hot takes on why the Grizzlies might be better without Dez. Baby. Like that's net some nasty work for early October. But I mean, honestly, the preseason starts in a matter of days, right? So like, it's time. Like, it's time to start figuring out who these Grizzlies are.
They've got the Abu Dhabi stuff going on.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's basketball season is here.
Well, I saw, NBA Twitter. I was like, what game are they talking? I was like, I thought FIBA's over. Like, and then I totally forgot that there's the Abu Dhabi games
going on. We're playing basketball, and NBA basketball specifically, in every corner of the globe now. You know, it's only a matter of time before Brett Yormark tries to send a Big 12 game to Japan or something. But no, I mean, it's a good take.
If he gives us three, I told Topmeyer this. I want him to do the put three games over in Europe week zero so that we don't have that thing that we've had the last couple of years in week zero where we've had a decent game in Ireland and then you're like, now what? Give us three games.
Yeah, and then you know what would also be great about that is that you could have all the teams that went to Europe continue to play each other
yes.
in the subsequent weeks.
Thanks be to the commission. She gave us the blueprint.
Of, well, this team went to Europe and the other team didn't, and one has jet lag and the other didn't. Well, just make everybody who went to Europe then play each other in week one, week two, week three.
Yeah, just play the Europe series. I'm sure fans would totally go for that.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so
I mean, all your classes can be done online anyway. Just leave them in Europe.
Class? Are we still pretending like that's a thing?
Well, you know, for some of us.
I'm sure the NCAA is going to make that a thing. All right, also tonight, what used to be my favorite NFL bet of the year, Big Bro, Little Bro night. We got the Niners taking on the Rams, but I should say it's the Niners in jerseys only, as basically every starter that matters for them is out. So we get to watch Mac Jones in prime time. Al could be special on this one. The only reason why he might not get super grumpy, Al, is because the game's in L.A. He can he stayed at home last night.
Al Michaels, yeah, no, still 2-3-1 team. So, I mean, as far as Thursday night football matchups go, this is about as good as you're going to get. But yeah, I mean, it'd be a shock if the 49ers went on the road and beat a Rams team that is a lot closer to full strength, full health. So, but yeah, I mean, this honestly, most Thursday nights, I'm going to lean towards the college game, but Sam Houston, New Mexico State is such a nasty game.
Oh, God. Even though it's on the CBS Sports Network, the network
of
stars.
Oh, my bad. It's a great matchup.
No, it's awesome.
I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
No, I'm sure. I'm sure you, like, literally, you've blocked off your whole schedule for it. No baseball tomorrow night, correct? Yeah, I think everything starts on the 4th. So we have Dodgers-Phillies will be on the 4th. And that will get swallowed up. Every divisional game. So everybody's at least going to have a travel day for tomorrow. All right. Friday night football. Let's see. I know we've got BYU, West Virginia. Okay. So on Friday nights, we have Western Kentucky at Delaware. Delaware's the team, right, that jumped up, that I always forget jumped up.
They did. Yeah. They are now a member of Conference USA.
Yes. When I think CUSA, I think Delaware. We have Charlotte at South Florida. Prayers for Charlotte, because I feel like Alex Golish knows he's officially in style point season.
A minus 28.5 point spread, which seemed to indicate that. Yeah,
that feels about right. New Mexico goes to San Jose State. I felt bad for my Spartans last week. I thought they were going to get it all the way home, get the outright win. They lose at Stanford by a point. That was tough. They led basically the entire game and found a way to not win. West Virginia at BYU and then Colorado State at San Diego State. That game will be disgusting.
Yeah.
Did you see, I think it was 18 straight possessions between San Diego State and Northern Illinois? No scores?
That's just awful. But in spite of their offensive horrendousness.
Yep.
San Diego State is 3-1.
Over Cal.
Yeah.
By the way, that was brutal for us last Saturday on our Cal under. We really needed BC to win that game. Like, I think it's dead no matter what, but like that was like the Undertaker gif where if BC could have won that game, like we had a chance.
Yeah, you know what else was brutal? For those of us holding a season over on Wake Forest, because I was like, man, if they beat Georgia Tech, this over is going to hit. Like, there's no doubt about it. And then for them to lose the game in the fashion that they did, that was really tough. Yeah, I'm willing to let my Cal bet go. My Cal bet is over. But I'm feeling really – well, my Notre Dame bet is already hit. They're already under the season win total of 10.5. So I'm there. I still feel pretty good about Georgia over, I think it was over 9.5, because they beat Tennessee. So, like, I just needed them to split with Tennessee and Alabama, and I was going to be fine there. But, yeah, Cal is toast, man. Like, they're going to hit the over.
That's just
soon,
a loser that's just sitting in the account. I'm like, I always account for that. All right, so nothing great on Friday, let's be real, which is fine because I have to go to Nashville to watch I have to go and watch Brentwood Academy running clock us for the Owls tomorrow, so looking forward to that. Brentwood, let's just say this. Brentwood Academy has found the old playbook. They are right back into being competitive again.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I would imagine, given the amount of money at Brentwood Academy, that finding talent is probably not that big.
Allegedly, there are guys now that have NIL deals in high school. Like, not like from the school. Another wonderful topic.
Okay. Hold on. Real quick. I'm sorry. I know we got to get to Saturday, but real quick. If you live in Brentwood, why do you send your kid to Brentwood Academy? It's like the highest rated school district in the state of Tennessee, one of the highest rated public school districts in the entire American South. And yet you want to shell out $40,000 a year to send your kid to Brentwood Academy, even though. Anyway, that's always been a pet peeve of mine dating back to when I was at Tennessee.
It used to be back when Carlton Flatt was there, if you wanted your son to be on the Auburn roster. Because I remember there was one year in the 90s that, like, they graduated 45 boys in the class and 7 were on Auburn's roster the next year.
Okay.
You'll never guess. That team went undefeated. I know you're shocked to hear that. All right, let's get to Saturday. If it's early, this is a day that you can maybe help out the wife early, because I think there's a strong case that TV One should be Iowa State at Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's rough. Yeah, this is the pumpkin patch day for
sure.
Yeah,
this is the get your pictures in early. We got Kentucky at Georgia. We have Wisconsin at Michigan. Nothing says Big Noon Saturday like that. Illinois goes to Purdue. That's on BTN. BC at Pitt. And then I guess this window was supposed to be the Clemson-North Carolina game.
Yep.
So for all the jokes that game was going to be on Cartoon Network, that game's actually on ESPN. That was a surprise to me. Also, the Kansas State-Baylor game is the random Big 12 game that's I feel like ESPN2 is doing Cincinnati wrong. Like, I feel like Cincinnati lives on that ESPN Plus game. Like, that's why we go like a month. Because I can't remember if it was you I was making the joke to or Tim Murray that we were going to look up and Cincinnati was going to be 6-1 in like October. And we've never seen them play since week one.
Because they've been on Plus every
Correct.
Week. Yeah. I would have to imagine the execs were looking at Kansas State Baylor going into the season and we're thinking, oh yeah, this is going to be 4-1 Kansas State, 5-0 Baylor, or vice
Whoops.
Versa. Not the case. A combined 500 record between the two of them. So yeah, that's nasty. But I mean, Iowa State Cincinnati, if you're a diehard football fan, that's an exciting matchup because you got Rocco Beck at Iowa State against Brendan Sorsby at Cincinnati. You brought to my attention, Jeffrey, that Iowa State is down its top two
both corners. For the
so,
season. And
I think that's actually a pretty interesting game.
They're starting and their backup kicker.
Oh no.
Yes. And they apparently have a kicker on the team now that like just showed up this week. So that could be exciting. Also, even though the government shut down, yes, Air Force and Navy will be playing on CBS at 11. Army and UAB's the American ESPNU game early. And then at noon, Cobb's fighting Demon Deacons go to Lane Stadium.
Need it. Need it.
I feel like I'm going to put that on the card. I don't put any stock into Virginia Tech winning at NC State. That was the classic. NC State lost the running back, and that's a Dave Doran special.
Dave Doran special. Yeah, I don't know if I trust either of those teams. But, yeah, not. I would say this noon window might be the worst.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal.
Of the season, maybe,
yep.
Anyway.
All right, so then in the afternoon, doesn't get much better for the start. We got Oklahoma State at Arizona. Arizona land 3 touchdowns. Penn State goes to UCLA. Gross. And then we also have Texas at Florida with a point total at 42.5. Cobb, I've looked. It's obviously the lowest SEC point total of the year. There have, in the last 4 years, according to True Media, there have only been 4 games with a point total this low.
I mean,
and
honestly,
I think all of them are like, Kentucky, South Carolina.
The only reason why I wouldn't take the under is because I'm afraid both of these quarterbacks will throw.
No,
pick
there
sixes.
Is such thing as really bad quarterback play also leads to there can be interceptions. So that's going to be disgusting. But we also have in this window for the first time ever ranked Vanderbilt and ranked Alabama. We've got Diego with his new mentor, Johnny Manziel. Johnny's been trying to pump him up, saying, I could only beat him once. You got a chance to go beat him twice. Go do it. Maybe this is me just being a Diego homer, but I really struggle thinking that this game's just going to be an Alabama bloodbath.
My issue is Vanderbilt defensively and whether or not they're going to be able to slow down an Alabama offense that – that we've seen it, man. We've seen the gear they can hit, and it is a gear that not many teams can match, and especially Vanderbilt, which is good defensively. I don't want to discredit Vanderbilt and make it sound like it's the same old Vanderbilt, but it takes an elite defense to shut down Alabama. I don't know. Like, who has Vandy played that is anywhere in the stratosphere of what Ty Simpson and Jeremy Bernard and Ryan Williams and Caden Proctor, you know, the problems they present?
The answer is no one. I would argue, though, at least South Carolina's defense was good, and they did put up 31 on them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. I just really struggle. Like, Bama's not been great against mobile quarterbacks. I know everyone's talking about the, you know, they've had this game circled because Drew Hill, our friend, like every one of his Bama friends, like hates Diego, can't stand him. But I don't know, man. I really struggle thinking that thing's going to be a blowout. Also, despite the big win for UVA, they go to Louisville's 6.5-point dogs. I kind of like Maryland this weekend. They're taking on Washington at this window at home. They're getting 6.5. Am I missing anything in the we also have Michigan State at Nebraska at 3 p.m. That's FS1. Anything Texas Tech goes to Houston. No, that's the evening. And is there anything else in the middle window, the afternoon window, that you want to shout out?
No, it's pretty bleak. We need Texas Florida to be a good game. We need Vanderbilt Alabama to be a good game.
Boise Notre Dame, but I got no faith in Boise.
Well, I don't either, but it's one of those situations where if you told me in the fourth quarter that game is close and that's sort of your surprise game of the afternoon in terms of like, oh, we didn't expect any drama here, but it's dramatic. Like, I could see that. I could see Boise State hanging around.
Also, heads up, how long did you keep Arkansas Notre Dame on last week?
Oh, halftime I was out.
So you missed the fake punt up 42-13?
Yeah. I missed that.
They're going for style points as well.
I don't blame them. You're trying to get into the playoff with two losses. So
it is a beauty contest. No, I am with you. It is a beauty contest. All right, let's get to the evening slate. As mentioned, Texas Tech goes to Houston. Houston needed double overtime to knock off Oregon State, as well as a missed field goal late last week. I almost wonder, like, that feels like Texas Tech flex spot. We also have Minnesota at Ohio State on NBC. Mississippi State goes to A&M. We'll discuss that in just a moment. All right, here's the question. Miami at Florida State. It's now down to 3, and Florida, Miami's down to -3.5. Everything gambling brain tells me Florida State is the right side. But we could also have said the same thing about Florida when they went to Miami. It is Miami's first road game of the year. The stadium has been finished in Tallahassee. Everyone says it's super loud, whatnot. So there's all that going. I just really think these two teams are not the same, particularly up front.
Well, Miami's got one of the best lines of scrimmages in all of college football. I also think there's a little bit of a lie in what Miami has accomplished. Because when they played Notre Dame, was way too cautious offensively. I didn't think they had a very good offensive game plan. They didn't rely on their running backs. They ended up relying on a freshman quarterback. South Florida was out of gas. Florida is just terrible. So, like, yeah, Miami has three good wins, but I don't think Miami's win over Notre Dame, maybe this is controversial, I don't think that's as good as Florida State's win over Alabama.
I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I guess the only difference I would say, though, is home versus road. Well, no, both were home. No, I do also think Miami baited Notre Dame. I think Miami defensively had a game plan that made Notre Dame play into their hands. I guess the only spins that I would say is Mario in that second half kind of coached that game to be close. Because at one point, it was 24-7. Isn't that right?
Right.
I think if they would have kept their foot down, if that game could have been like a real blowout. And I know it's CJ Carr, first start, whatnot. It's like, I don't know, man. I look at their defense and offensive lines, and I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't love this. I'm also not the world's biggest Castellanos guy.
Well, I didn't think the Florida State offense was actually that bad against Virginia. I just thought they had too many whoopsie daisies.
They had too many whoopsie daisies.
Hold on to the football.
Too many whoopsie daisies, and then they also, like, they had multiple times to kind of take control of that game and put it away, and they refused. Like, they dropped, like, they dropped an interception when they were like really going to try to put the thing away. And then Virginia ends up scoring on that possession. Then there was another, they get an interception from Chandler. And then right off the bat, Castellanos throws a pick right back to him. I think that was the thing that was striking to me about that game. And I mentioned this to George. If you're talking about the anatomy of an upset, Virginia didn't do the things like that lead to an upset. Like, they were turning the ball over. They were really sloppy. They had penalties. Like, I don't know. It was just, that was like what was striking to me is like the things that you're supposed to do to win that kind of game, to have that kind of upsets. Like, they didn't do it. They still just like, okay, we just think we can score every time.
Yeah, no doubt. So I'm in the minority among my colleagues at CBS. I've got Florida State, and I got it at +4.5.
No,
so
gambling brain tells me that's the right side.
Yeah. So I think, again, I think part of it for me is just still a lack of trust in Mario Cristobal's game management in close games. I mean, this is a guy who didn't kneel the football, and it cost him a game. And
supposedly, we have a new guy on the sideline that apparently is in charge.
Okay. Well,
we've heard that one before.
Yeah, right. But yeah, the huge game, it would also be a disaster again, kind of for the ACC, if Florida State won this game, because then you don't even have a bell cow. Like, then Miami is no longer in the +2500 or better to win the national title conversation. So this would render the ACC totally irrelevant and would more or less leave the ACC without a legitimate national title contender if Florida State were to beat Miami.
To your point, I think if you're one of those SEC schools like the Ole Misses, the Tennessees, the people that have dreams of the playoff but maybe not by winning the SEC, I think you need to pull for Miami. I think you needed to be a one-bid ACC.
For sure. Disqualify Florida State from contention. Yeah, and make the ACC a one-bid league, make the Big 12 a one-bid league, and that's your ticket to getting three lost teams in from the SEC.
All right, also during that window, Memphis hosts Tulsa, 7 p.m. That's on the U. Kansas goes to UCF at 6:30 on ESPN2. Colorado to TCU on Fox at 6:30. We do have a Duke-Cal game. Of course, so everyone knows a historic ACC rivalry. And Nevada at Fresno State late. All right, so last thing on this. So at that 6:30 window, Mississippi State at A&M. I'm with my buddy Chase Parham that he asked me this earlier. I weirdly think this is a better test, in my opinion, of is this Mississippi State thing like a true, real thing in terms of improvement? Because I think last week, it's at home. It's two comfortable offenses, two guys that kind of know each other. Both teams kind of knew. But this is like a different style. And so it's like if they go to A&M and they play a team that wants to be kind of more of a bully and then they wind up making this thing a game, like I think that's kind of a weirdly a better test than last week was.
Yeah, to me, this game is more about when Texas A&M has the football, What does Mississippi State look like defensively? Because I don't know if you saw it, but Mike Elko sort of had his little Brian Kelly type of meltdown after
he said clearly, "Don't, this is not him."
It was pretty close. And what did we see from LSU's offense after Brian Kelly's meltdown? Nothing but a train wreck against Ole Miss. So if Texas A&M is in for a similar sort of offensive train wreck, then I like Mississippi State's chances of covering this spread, but
I also have my doubts. I think everybody's decided that A&M's defense is fixed, and I think that they might have just played Auburn.
Absolutely. An Auburn team that was on the road for the second week in a row that cannot block anybody.
0 for 13 on third downs.
I mean, it's just pathetic. And Mississippi State, by no means do they have the best offensive line in the SEC. But I'd be shocked if Blake Shapen gets sacked, you know,
I would be stunned. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Eric Hastein joins the program next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
9FM, ESPN.
That music means we welcome the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer to the program. He, of course, is Eric Hasseltine. Eric, in my inbox, I suppose I need to congratulate you. Congratulations. You have been announced as the Memphis Grizzlies play-by-play announcer this season. All of the games you can hear right here on 92.9FM ESPN. So congratulations, Eric.
I appreciate that. But, yeah, it's nice to see that every year, and it brings back a lot of memories. You know, it's hard to believe that this is going to be season number 25, and I was thinking about it when I read it this morning too. Of, you know, I remember game one in the was playing with the Pistons, and the optimism was super high because the Grizzlies, their first four home preseason games, that's when we played an eight-game schedule, they tried to win. They tried to keep their starters out there and get people excited about the upcoming year, and that's where we got the infamous Don Poyer call of Oklahoma in Memphis. If I'm not mistaken, it was a game against the Sonics, and the Grizzlies were losing and made this incredible comeback, and Jason Williams hits this ridiculously hard fadeaway three in the right corner, and you know, we were just having fun with it. But, you know, there's a lot of memories. I remember pulling into the Pyramid for the first open practice. It was my first day in Memphis in 2001. I remember the meeting that we had at the original flagship with the first time I met Don and Sean Tuohy, and that was going to be our crew. And then getting to know Matt Devlin, who's now with the Raptors, and Hersey Hawkins, who's since gone on to front office jobs and now is retired. And you know, thinking about all the nights and games and road trips and friendships, more importantly, along the way, it's pretty cool. I feel very, very blessed to have that opportunity. And I really realized the magnitude of it when we were at broadcast meetings a couple of weeks ago and realized that, well, there's not many more guys that have been with their team longer than, you know, myself and Pete. And there's not many duos that have been there longer with their respective teams together, radio and TV, as we have. And that's, to me, that's pretty special.
Yeah, the longevity that you mentioned is so incredible. It's one of the coolest things about the Grizzlies organization is the continuity you have with Pete and Brevin and Fish. And then you get in the car or you're not at your TV and you pull up the audio stream and it's Eric Hasseltine, who you've heard on the airwaves for, you know, basically a quarter century. Because, man, Eric, like, sometimes my parents made me go to bed and I would turn on the radio in my bedroom and I would listen to you back when you were doing pre and post. And so, yeah, like, you talk about the impact and everything that, you know, this time being the play-by-play voice has meant to you. But, like, for me, it goes back to when you were pre and post. And because those were, like, the formative years of me becoming a sports fan and becoming a Grizzlies fan. And so the impact you've had on the listeners and will continue to have, I think, is a really special thing.
It was fun, Todd. Those were good times. And, you know, that first 50-win year, I'm not going to say it was easy. It was fun, but it was a really hard schedule because at the time I was hosting a morning show on the original flagship. And so I would go with the station van down to the pyramid at about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock every day, get ready, you know, have dinner, do the interviews, do the process, and then, you know, call the game. I was also doing television sideline stuff, so I was doing both. Then after the game, I would do my post-game show stuff, my television stuff, and then we would go, and sometimes we had to do it in a room because they were changing over the court. We would do the call-in show from the arena, and our belief was if people are still calling, we'll keep taking them. There were nights we didn't get out of there until midnight. Well, then we had to drive all the way back out to East Memphis. I was living in Collierville, get home, get a nap, and turn around and be back at the station by 5 o'clock in the morning. So there were some days where I didn't sleep, was not part of the plan. But, you know, those are also, like you said, those were formative years. They were formative years for me. During that time, people always ask, how do you, you know, people ask me, how does my son get this? How do they do? You got to be willing to do those things and then figure out other ways to get experience. I used to hire one of the engineers that was at 92.9 when I got there as well, named Skip Reynolds, and he would set up a mini disc recorder, and I would call the game from the baseline. The Grizzlies were kind enough to let me do that. They gave me a space where I wasn't going to be bothered, and I got to call NBA games. So that year before Don passed away, when he needed to miss 2 games for his daughter's college graduation, they had heard the tapes I was working on. They said, just slide you right over. We're good. So, you know, it was fun. And the post-game shows were fun. And I remember telling people a lot of times, because it was not exactly the best basketball to watch. And that 50-win team with Hubie was special. And, you know, seeing Hubie and watching him retire at the end of last year and knowing what he's gone through, both basketball-wise and personal-wise, these last couple of years. I mean, he lost his son. He lost Brendan Brown, passed away, and that stung. And I know how close Hubie was to him. That's tough, but he was still able to be the best of the best. But before that, we had to remind people, hey, this is really new. This is really new. You really don't become a bona fide NBA city at least for about 10 or 11 years. Now, you can come out to the games and you can think we're an NBA city, but you got to see the ups and downs. You got to see a good team make runs. I mean, Oklahoma City was spoiled when the Sonics moved there because their roster was just loaded. And their first year, they didn't make the playoffs, but they were just stacked, and everybody knew they were going to be good. The Grizzlies knew they were going to be good. And then they had the run with that group that included James Harden before he was traded, Westbrook, Durant, Ibaka. But after that, they weren't very good, and that was what their final step of their growth process was. And now, obviously, they're world champions. But, you know, we've seen a lot of things, and it got to a point where I was trying to remind people during the core four times that, hey, this group is not the norm. I know it kind of feels like that right now because every year they're going to the playoffs, 7 years in a row, and you'd get the detractors, yeah, but 7 years and they've only done you know, they've only gone to the Western Conference Finals. They haven't won a championship. And I'm like, you know, it's not – championships are not on the, you know, aisle three at Walmart on the middle rack. They're hard to find. They're really hard to find, and they're really hard to accomplish. Even Western Conference Finals, I mean, the West has been a gauntlet for the last 15, 20 years. So it was a special time, and there was that connection to the team and the team to the city. And that was kind of the big step forward. Now the next step is for this group to continue to keep that that feeling of this is ours. This is ours with the city. And so, man, you know, thinking about pre-half and post, you get me a monologue in there, Cobb. It was a good time, and I was very, very lucky. Because I had the goal in mind of a certain age, and that's what I wanted to try to do. I had to leave where I was in Sacramento to make that happen. And it came a handful of years earlier than I had, you know, set the goal for. And then that kind of set the whole thing in motion.
Well, no, it's funny that Cobb mentioned that. I had the same thing. I had a radio that, because, back when, hey, it's your school night, you're supposed to go to bed. No, I was listening to the radio and listening to those calls as well. I think the other thing that I was thinking about when you go through that is 2011 the actual best shot the Grizzlies had at a title? Because if you think about it, they take the Thunder to 7, and what, there was the, was it triple overtime? What was the home game? Was it triple?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, where Gravis Vasquez hit the ridiculous shot.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, but like they matched up pretty well with the Mavs the next series. It was like if they could get by the Thunder, and then the Heat were still in that, like, not quite fully formed. LeBron was trying to do the weird villain thing for a while. Like,
yeah.
I almost wonder, like, in hindsight, if that was actually the best shot.
Yeah, I would go there, or I would go the 2014 team that lost to the Warriors.
15, you mean? Because 14 was the Clippers, the Mother's Day game 7, which I flew home. I remember, whatever, flying home for that. Like, hey, Mom, I'm going to the game.
I never will forget that, yeah, on that day. And by the way, on the note you said about listening, I ran into Connor when he was working at Academy Sports. I was taking my son, I think, to get his first Little League bat.
Oh, yeah.
And Connor's like, hey, I want to do what you do one day. And I was like, that's great. This is what you got to do. Now Connor was my producer, and now he's Gabe's producer and is doing great things. So it's cool to hear that. And, it's wild. I joke and tell people it makes you feel old. It doesn't. It makes me proud that guys that love the game and love sports and went on to very – you guys both, Connor, very successful sports media careers, grew up listening, and because I did the same thing. And so that makes me feel really good that helped. But I think that, the 2011 one was tough because you felt like it was close, and you just didn't have the bucket getter like Kevin Durant, and that was the thing. I thought the 2014 loss to the Clippers, it's hard to say what would have happened. But you blew a big lead, and then game 7, that was just from the ultimate of highs before the game to, wow, it just ended. And that's part of learning how to be an NBA fan. You have to accept those days where the city is just absolutely electric, and 3 hours later, it's like, oh, wow, it's done. And we lost, and we're not supposed to lose game 7 at home. We're supposed to be celebrating right now on Beale Street, and we're not. And then 16... you know, you knew you were going to get by the Blazers because Wes Matthews was one of the big thorns in the side during the regular season. Lillard was good, but you could throw Tony Allen on Lillard and shape that up. And C.J. McCollum had not become C.J. McCollum. Matthews ruptures his Achilles, and you're like, okay, even the Blazers knew it. There at the time, radio announcer who passed away last year, Brian Wheeler, came and said, and I laughed because I never think you have no chance. I almost agree with him. He goes, we have no chance in this series to beat you guys. None. And I was like, Wheels, we got to play the game. Come on, man.
I'm still pissed we didn't sweep them.
Yeah, they were really mad. I've never seen a team really angry that they won a game.
That they had to travel again.
Exactly. Their analyst was a guy named Antonio Harvey. And, because he looks at me, I was like, all right, cool. See you guys for dinner tomorrow night. And he's like, man, I love you. But I am not happy that we are going to fly across the country to get our ass kicked and just come back home. Why didn't we just do it tonight? I got things I got to do. So, yeah, but I know people still go back to that. I don't think C.J. McCollum did anything dirty or intentional. He just caught Mike. And Mike has a broken face. Tony has a pulled hamstring. The Warriors just schemed it up because they knew Mike wasn't 100%. And I don't care what anybody says and however many times Draymond Green denies it. Draymond Green, when he came down, it looked to me like made it a point to make sure he caught it, like put some pressure on Mike's face on a ball on the floor once. And he tried to deny it because that was when the fans went bananas. And I'm sure for Mike, it probably really, really affected him during that moment and probably the next couple days. But I think if that team had been healthy, I don't know that they would have won it. I think that might have been their best chance. And maybe it is that you were just really, really, really good. You just weren't quite good enough. We've seen that with a ton of teams, a ton of big-time players that never won titles. But, you know, when you had a Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and that group, that's hard to get by. It's really hard to get by. So, but 2011 was special. The year I thought they got really screwed was the third year of the playoff run with Fratello. I would have loved to have seen, and nothing against Coach Fratello, because he did fine, but I would have loved to have seen if Hubie could have stayed another year or two. But the problem with his system was what made it successful was what also always undid the locker room. You had guys back then that you needed to play 38 minutes to get paid. That's why I always tell people Hubie Brown was 25 years ahead of his time. He was pacing, spacing, load managing without sitting guys out, using the three as a weapon, and teams didn't know how to stop it. But if you could have taken that team that ended up having to play the Mavericks in the first round, that had the fourth best record in the league in the West that year, would have hosted the first round against a Clipper team that had no playoff experience, and then you move on to play a Spurs team that year they gave them fits. That would have been fun to see. I don't know if they would have beaten the Mavericks that year because the Mavericks ended up catching fire, but that was a really good group too.
Eric, we appreciate it, my man. Congratulations on year number 25.
Talk to everybody. I think I'll be there Saturday for the open practice for a little bit. Yeah, and so I'm glad, like you were talking about the college games. But Monday night, we'll be back on the airwaves, first game. And like you said earlier, I want to congratulate Bennett Doyle, John Roser for taking the spot left by Gary Darby. I'm excited to work with both of them again. And Elliot for his 18th season and Michael Wallace. He's still the baby. He's
honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.